I want to ask you a question. In your dating and relating experience, is it common for you to feel like you have some magnetic and mysterious quality about you that makes connecting relatively easy? Or do you find connecting to be difficult, to where chemistry is rare, and that you might often feel like you end up in the friend zone? Well, in today's episode, you are going to learn how to be your most magnetic self. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the Attracting Lasting Love podcast, presented by CoachingWithRoy.com. You found the place where single adults come for mindful wisdom and insight into how to attract and create healthy, lasting, conscious relationships. And now, here's your host, the owner of CoachingWithRoy.com, number one best-selling author, certified relationship coach, and TV analyst, Roy Biancalana.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another edition of the Attracting Lasting Love podcast. My name is Roy Biancalana, and today is the final part, part six, of a series of podcasts I've called Making Sense of Life's Contradictions. What I've realized, what I know you realize, is that to live life skillfully, to have really good relationship skills and life skills, part of what that means is to be able to balance things that appear to be contradictory on the surface, right? It's always dangerous when we get lopsided, when we go to the extremes. So that's one reason why I love the Buddhist phrase of finding the middle way, okay? The middle way is where you find the balance between things that seem to be oppositional. So this has all been about reconciling what appear to be as contradictory ideas, right? So we talked about acceptance and action. Both of those are necessary. How do we find the balance? Thinking and feeling, compassion and responsibility, judgment and discernment, selfishness and unselfish. Okay? These have all been things that we sort of know what they are individually. That isn't the problem. Like, we know what acceptance is and what action is. We know what thinking is and feeling is. We know what compassion is and what responsibility is. So the issue isn't understanding them. The issue is, like, how can they both be true at the same time? How do we integrate them? How do we find balance? But you see, that's why today's topic is going to be so complicated. Because, well, not only are masculine and feminine contradictory on the surface, and they very much are. They are as opposite as you can possibly be. Equal in value. I should say that right here. Masculine and feminine, they are different. They are opposite. They have different priorities, different purposes, different preferences. But they are both of equal value. But see, the challenge is, we knew what acceptance meant and what action meant. We knew what selfish means and unselfish means. But so we talk about masculine and feminine. That's not true. Those are very ambiguous terms. They can mean different things to different people. And so the first thing that we kind of got to do here is at least I need to define what I mean by these terms, right? I think if we polled a bunch of people, you might get dozens of different definitions. And I'm not saying all the different definitions are not true. I just want to make clear what I'm talking about so that at least you understand the perspective I'm bringing. And if you understand the perspective I'm bringing, then you can decide if what I have to say is of value to you, if you want to take it and integrate it into your life and use it in your efforts to attract lasting love. And I just want to say right now, if you reject my usage of masculine and feminine and my definition of them and how I'm speaking of them, that's totally okay. I'm totally okay with people taking some things I have to say and saying, I like Roy's perspective on that. I want to align my life with that. I want to apply that. But this subject, no, I don't agree with that. That's perfectly fine. Okay. So, and with this topic, I think it can happen maybe more than any other topic, you know, that we've covered in this series. So not only is this one complicated, more complicated than the others, because we have to define what these terms mean, but this topic is way more controversial, okay? As controversial as it might be to compare selfish and unselfish, when we talk about narcissists and empaths who are on the extreme of the selfishness spectrum, I mean, that can be controversial. The idea of compassion and responsibility, ooh, that can be controversial, depending on which one of those you think is maybe more important, even though they are of equal importance and need to be balanced. So these other topics can be sort of controversial, but not like this masculine feminine thing, right? So we're all familiar with the gender conversations going on in the world right now. And I think they can be very helpful if we understand them properly. And that's one of the goals that I want to bring today, is not only an understanding of masculine and feminine and how to use these energies to attract your life partner, but again, we're talking about relationship skills, living life with wisdom. And so I think understanding masculine and feminine can help each of us have a greater understanding for this gender discussion that's going on. And I think it can help you make sense of it. Okay. But what I want to start with is on the complicated side. We'll get to the controversial side in a minute. I want to start by saying one of the reasons this topic of masculine and feminine is more complicated than any of the other five we've talked about is that in this one, the goal is completely different. See, before it was all about how do we take two true things and find balance? How do we kind of combine them and find balance? Whereas we're talking about masculine and feminine, the goal is not to find balance. Even though every human being has both masculine and feminine in them, because masculine and feminine is not gender. It has nothing to do with what's between your legs. It has nothing to do with male and female. They are energies that exist in the entire universe. And since we are part of the entire universe, they exist in us. These energies exist in the stars. They exist in outer space. They exist in animals, vegetables, minerals. These are universal energies that we call, or that I call, masculine, feminine. And so, without getting too bogged down in that right now, the whole idea here is even though you have both masculine and feminine, the idea is not for you to be balanced in moments of intimacy. That was a loaded sentence. Let me say it again. The purpose of understanding masculine and feminine is not to be balanced in moments of intimate relationship. Oh, it is beautifully fine to be balanced in these energies at work or in friendships or in raising children, in dealing with coworkers. But if you want sexual attraction, if you want chemistry, if you want sparks to fly, And if you want sparks to continue to fly in an intimate relationship, then it is all about being on the extremes. That's why this is complicated. Because everything I've said in the other topics in this series has been about get off the extremes, find the balance, find how acceptance and action are not contradictory. You need both if you're going to live an effective life. Compassion and responsibility are really not contradictory. You need both if you're going to have healthy dynamics in relationships. But in intimate relationship, you need both, but you need to embody one or the other, because opposites attract. The masculine and feminine are energies. They are opposite, but they are drawn to each other. One of the best ways to see this is when you put two magnets near each other. If the magnets have the same energy, you can't push the magnets together. They repel each other. But if the magnets have opposite energy, they pull each other together. And here's the real crux. If the magnets have opposite energy, and the stronger of those energies are, the more powerful the magnetic pull is. So what you're looking for in a relationship is a strong pull of attraction, a strong pull of chemistry, of juice, of the flow, the aliveness that you can feel between these energies. And the way you experience that is not by trying to be a balanced person where I'm embodying both my masculine and feminine side. No. If you embody both of those energies and you are a balanced individual in moments of intimacy, you won't create sexual attraction. You will be a mature person. Because both of those energies are online in your life. And so one moment might require more of the feminine energy response. Maybe someone's hurting and comfort's needed, or love is needed, or connection around emotional issues and celebration and communion is needed in this moment. And then in other moments, presence is needed, direction is needed, structure is needed, and you have both of these energies, and so you can respond to any moment. So that's what a mature individual is. They're comfortable in both their masculine and feminine sides, and they can bring them to bear on whatever situation, except that if you bring both your masculine and feminine on a date, when you're balanced like that, you won't create any magnetic pull. So this is why it's complicated. It's like in every area of your life, you want to have both masculine and feminine. You do. You want to have both of them developed, and you want to have both of them available to you in every other area of your life. But the minute you want to connect in intimacy, the minute you want to create sexual attraction, you need to stop being balanced and completely go in the direction of the energy that you are most comfortable with. So right there, that needs some explanation. We all have masculine and feminine. But almost every single one of us is more comfortable in the one energy than the other. We're more at home in one or the other. We have a lead energy and a secondary energy, you could say. It's much like, you know, we have two hands, but most people are right-handed or left-handed. You have a preference. You have your lead hand, you could say, right? So if you just want to be a mature person to function in the world in the highest way, then you want to be ambidextrous with your masculine, feminine. You want to have both of them available to you, and you can use whichever depending on the moment. But if you want an intimate relationship, if you're single and you don't want to be, if you want to attract someone online or otherwise, then in those moments, when you're in those environments, you want to allow yourself to fully embody your home energy. So if you're a person who is more at home in the feminine, right? You have access to your masculine. You can make a budget for yourself. You can get yourself out of bed and go in a direction and achieve a goal and get things done and that kind of stuff. But if you're more at home in the feminine, which is the flow of feeling and emotion and connection and communication and consecration and communion, right? The flow of life. More, I sometimes describe the feminine is like a horizontal energy. It's between me and you. It's me and you. Where the masculine is more of a vertical energy. It's about God and life. It's more about direction. It's more about big picture. It's not really about emotion and connection and love and communion. It's more about presence and direction and consciousness and that kind of thing. So if you're a person who's more at home in the feminine, then when you're in any dating environment or any environment where you're not, say, at work or something, where you're interested in connecting and attracting, then you want to be the most feminine person you can possibly be, because that makes your magnet the most powerful. It will draw masculine people toward you. So you don't want to be a little feminine. You want to be as much feminine as you possibly can be, because that's when you have the strongest pull on the masculine. And the same is vice versa. If you're someone, and notice I'm not saying men or women, because that's not it. If you are someone who's more identified with or more at home in the masculine, then in moments of relationship, dating, moments where you're wanting to attract or initiate or have conversation or meet up with or flirt with, you don't want to be this balanced person. You want to be the most masculine person you can be. You want to embody your masculine as much as possible. In other words, you want to diminish your feminine. You want to put it aside and be lopsided. You want to be all masculine. Because when you are all masculine, that's your magnet. That's when you have the most power to attract the feminine. And these energies, these masculine and feminine, they are attracted to each other. And the stronger you embody one or the other, the more powerful your ability to attract. Okay? Now here's the problem. Everything you hear in the world is either saying one or both of these energies is toxic, or that you're supposed to be both. And that you're supposed to be not polarized. You're not supposed to be extreme. So you're getting advice that's ruining your love life when you're taking advice that says You shouldn't be your full masculine self. You shouldn't be your full feminine self. And we don't have time for me to give you example after example after example of what happens in movies and, you know, television commentators and cultural discussions and books on this stuff. But in moments of intimacy, that's the phrase I'm going to keep repeating it. Not at work. Not when you're raising kids. Not when you're in friendships. Then you ought to have both of your energies online. But when you want to attract, it's like, all right, for myself, I'm more identified with the masculine. If I want to meet a woman, if I want to connect, if I want to attract a partner, I don't want to display my feminine. Because the person I'm going to be attracted to, they got all that. They're attracted to the masculine. So I want to embody that part of me. Right? I want to express that part of me. So that's one reason why this is so complicated, is that we don't want balance, not in moments of intimacy. Even as a relationship progresses. Here is why a lot of couples over time lose their sexual interest in each other. You know how it is in the beginning? You're just all over each other. And then maybe after a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, the sexual activity can really diminish. That's because over time, if you don't know what you're doing, you become balanced. And therefore, you love each other and you serve each other and you're devoted to each other, but you don't want each other. You don't want to fuck each other because you're too much alike. This also explains the friend zone. This is important because I talk to people all the time that complain about getting put in the friend zone. A guy might say, you know, I meet girls and they just want to be my friend. They don't really want to, they don't want me to be their man. And women say the same thing. I meet guys and I just kind of end up being their buddy or something, like I'm their friend. They don't want to claim my heart as their woman. What's up? Well, that can be a complicated thing. So I don't want to get over simplistic here. But almost always a big part of it is that you're manifesting the same energy as the other person. So they see you as a friend. See, two feminine people, they don't want to fuck each other. They want to be friends. They're the same, right? Two masculine people, they don't want to have sex with each other because they're the same. It's the opposites that create the connection. So if you find yourself getting in the friendship zone, you need to listen to this podcast because chances are you've been told to be balanced. You've been told, you know, to be kind of vanilla, sort of in the middle. And you're getting put in the friend zone because they feel you as a friend. They're not feeling the opposite energy, is what I'm saying. Does that make sense? The friend zone is when both people are animating the same energy. Now, somebody might say, well, what about gay people? That's two guys wanting to be together, two women wanting to be together. I'm saying, no, just look closer. You're going to see that one of the guys is animating feminine and the other guy is animating masculine. And they have the polarity. They might have the same equipment between their legs, but that's not what we're talking about here. Opposite energies attract. Two women who are lesbians, if their sexual attraction, it's because one is masculine, one's feminine. Has to be. Because it's not about gender. Now, the other thing that I need to comment here is I think there can be some reaction that happens about me saying and encouraging everyone to know what their lead energy is. And it's not really that hard. Maybe I'll give you a quick way to kind of get at it. But there can be a reaction towards really going to the masculine and embodying your masculine or your feminine. Most of the fear would come up around the masculine because there's such a discussion of the toxic masculine, the patriarchy, okay? And there really is something called the toxic masculine. The masculine energy can be used for harm. It can be used for reasons of domination and power and egocentricity, okay? There is such a thing as the toxic masculine. That's not what I'm talking about. You can really embody the divine masculine, which is a commitment to presence, a commitment to serving and moving anything it comes in contact with toward love, toward freedom, right? So there is a divine masculine and a toxic masculine. I'm not encouraging you to embody the toxic masculine and be a macho jerk. Okay, that ain't it. Nor am I encouraging you to embody the toxic feminine, because there is a toxic feminine. Have you ever watched the Bravo Network? Have you ever watched the Housewives of Wherever Network? There is a toxic feminine. Now, the toxic feminine is rarely violent, because the feminine is not violent. But the feminine can be emotionally violent, can be emotionally toxic. The feminine can be about power and control and manipulation and egocentricity. So I'm not, when I talk to people with feminine energy and say, if you want to attract a partner, be more feminine, be more radiant, make your feminine stronger, embody it completely with no embarrassment, no shame, right? But I'm not saying to be more of a drama queen and to be a high maintenance, selfish egomaniac. I'm not telling you to, I don't know, Kim Kardashian. I don't know what example you could give. That might not be fair. I don't know her. I've just seen her on TV. So what do I know? But you get my point here, is that people can say, oh my God, to go completely into my masculine, well, that would be scary. I'd hurt people. No, that's not what the masculine is. The masculine does not hurt. The masculine is a nurturing energy of a kind, not the way the feminine is. But think of a good father. Fathers nurture their children, but not the way the mother does if the mother is more identified with the feminine. It's a different kind of nurture. It might be more of a challenge energy, more of a disciplinary energy, but it's coming from love. If it's being done right, right? You love your children. You want the best for them. So you're challenging them to deal with things. You're challenging them to be disciplined. You're challenging them to pay attention to certain things and to wise up and make better choices and, you know, kick an ass if you need to. But it's in service of their growth. See, when the masculine is online, the divine masculine, it's in service of evolution. It's in service of growth. It's not in service of itself. That's the toxic masculine. I'm going to use my power for myself, to get what I want. And of course, it's the same with the feminine. When the feminine is offline, she's using her femininity for herself, rather than using her commitment to the flow of love, to the connection and intimacy and communion of all beings. When she's in the divine feminine, that's what she's doing. She's creating connection. Or she's bringing light and love. And it's not for herself. It's in service of everyone she loves and everything she loves, ultimately of the whole planet. Okay? So are you getting some clarity on this? The main thing I'm trying to point out is that you don't want to be balanced. You want to strengthen your masculine and or strengthen your feminine. All right, does that make sense? Now, I want to say a little bit more about what the masculine feminine is. I want to kind of get at this some, because this is where the controversy can happen, is when we think they're genders. Or we think they're, well, masculine is male, feminine is female. No, that's not it. I think every religion, every culture notices that there are like this duality of energies. Like you can just look into the night sky at night, just go look up in the stars. And what you're going to see is space and stuff, right? You're going to see lots of open space and you're going to see lots of stars, moons, comets. If you have enough, you know, of a telescope, galaxies. So you're going to see lots of empty space and lots of stuff. That's what I call masculine feminine. See, the masculine feminine, they're just labels of something that we all know exists. And that is space. There's presence. There's something that's holding everything in space. The stuff is in space. It's surrounded by space. It's encapsulated by space. It's held by space. But space isn't empty. Space is filled with stuff. All kinds of stuff. And those two are really not separate. I mean, you can't separate them. You can't take all the stuff and put it somewhere and then have all the space and put it there. It just logically, intellectually doesn't work that way. They're one thing. That's why spirituality always talks about oneness. Because if you step back far enough, it's one thing. It's the form and the formless is kind of how the Buddhists describe it. The form is what I might say, the formless space is what I and others call masculine. The form, stuff, things, energy is what I call, others call, feminine. But they're kind of the same thing. They go together. They are the two faces of God. I forget what author described them that way. The masculine and feminine are the two faces of God. The duality of the one life. So in Hinduism, they call them Shiva and Shakti. Shiva is consciousness. Shakti is energy, movement. Consciousness is space, right? Emptiness, presence. That surrounding, holding thing. And Shiva is energy, movement, flow. Everything that exists, every form is feminine. The space which holds it is masculine. So there's Shiva, Shakti, there's yin and yang. Christians have spirit and flesh. Do you see it? And there's masculine, feminine. So this is not about gender. It's way bigger than that. The masculine and feminine are energies. And these energies exist in the world. There's a magnetic field around the earth. And the north and south poles have these different charges. You plug something in the wall, it's got two prongs. You have car battery cables. One's red and one's black. Positive, negative charges. That's the flow of energy between the spark between them, right? You touch the cables together and it bzzz. Okay? This is about electromagnetism. And I'm just saying those energies in the universe exist in us. And we have both of them. But if you, but they're drawn together. They go together. They pull toward each other. Whenever you put a masculine charge near a feminine charge, there's an arc of energy that flows between them. That's electricity. So if you want a little arc of energy, you want to be as masculine or feminine as you can be, not balanced. Because balanced, there's no energy. There's no spark. Does that make sense? Now, here's where I really think the trans conversation, the gender conversation, is very helpful. Because on some level, and I don't think most of them actually understand this, but on some level, what some people are saying is, even though I have a male body with a penis or a female body with a vagina, I don't feel like that. My energetic feeling doesn't match my biological body. That's a real thing, because masculine feminine is not biological. It's energetic. So just because you got a penis doesn't mean you're masculine. They really have nothing to do with each other. So you could have a penis and have a feminine nature, have a feminine essence, be more at home in the feminine principles of love and communion and connection and beauty and that sort of thing. You can have a vagina and be much more aligned with presence and direction and consciousness. Does that make sense? So that's all that trans people are trying to say, is that I want to identify as what I feel like, not what's between my legs. Now, we could have discussions all day long about, should a person define themselves by the energy they feel or by the equipment they carry? You can argue that all you want. You're not going to get anywhere with that, because everyone's going to have their own preference. But I think we can really begin to respect when we sort of understand, okay, you're saying that no matter what you look like in a mirror on the inside, I feel this way. Now, lots of people that are kind of anti with the trans thing will make fun of people who say, I feel like I was born in the wrong body. But that's just not fair. Because some people have a masculine or feminine essence that doesn't match the male or female equipment. And so that's where all the pronoun things come from. They would rather be addressed as how they feel of who they are rather than what the biology says they are. Now, I did a podcast on this a long time ago. And it was all as a result of the Supreme Court justice. I think it was Kajami Brown Jackson was being sort of questioned by the Senate for her confirmation into the Supreme Court. And I believe it was Marsha Blackburn, senator from Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, could be Kentucky. And she asked her, what is a woman? Remember that whole conversation about what is a woman, right? It was a trap question, because Jackson, the Supreme Court nominee, was black and, you know, a liberal judge. And so if she gave some biological definition, a woman has this kind of chromosome and the ability to have a physical baby, you know, she'd have gotten killed by her side. And if she would have spoken more of the energetics, a woman is when a person feels like a woman, regardless of what their biology is, then the right would have killed her. So it was an unfair trap question that goofy politicians do. They all do it to each other. But really, I did a podcast and I said, there was an answer to that question though. Miss Jackson, you know, she's familiar with the law. Maybe she's not familiar with this kind of work. She should have said, well, to answer the question, what is a woman? You have to tell me, from what perspective are you asking that? Are you asking me biologically, psychologically, or spiritually? Because depending on what perspective you're coming from, there's a different answer. So if you're asking me biologically what a woman is, oh yeah, she has that chromosome pattern and she can, you know, deliver a baby, okay? And, right? And, but if you're asking me psychologically or energetically, well, then it's what we're talking about here. How identified with the feminine principle, the feminine priority is a person, right? But even that, see, so this is how you understand the right and the left in politics right now. On the right, when they talk about this, if you listen closely, they just talk about biology. Nothing else matters. Well, that's ridiculous. It is. But they're coming at it from a biological perspective. When you talk about people on the left, people that are pro with the trans movement and everything, listen to them closely. I feel like this. They're talking about their psychology, their emotional energy, right? So who's right? Well, they're both right, and they're both wrong. They're both right in the sense of biologically, this is what a woman is. Psychologically, it's however you feel. Doesn't matter what your biology is, if you feel feminine, there you go. But they're both wrong because spiritually, there is no masculine and feminine. There is no male and female. There is no slave and free. There is no Jew and Gentile. Even the Bible teaches that. See, spiritually, there is no form. At the deepest level of who we are loving awareness. We are consciousness. The self that we take ourselves to believe is something that appears in consciousness. And our bodies and even our energies are things that we can feel or notice. But what is it that's feeling or noticing? What is the seer of what's seen? The seer has no qualities. It's empty space. It's wide open consciousness. And that's who we are spiritually. So we're not male or female. We're not masculine or feminine. Those are surface-oriented constructs. So on the deepest level, Miss Jackson would have said to Marsha Blackburn, if you're asking me spiritually, there's no such thing as a woman. There's no such thing as a man. There's no such thing as a male and a female, not from a spiritual perspective. Right? So does this help you make sense a little bit of what's going on? Listen to people when they get arguing on Twitter or on television about all these pronoun things and stuff like that. And you're going to hear one side talking biology and the other side talking completely different. They're talking about energy and psychology. And so they're not talking about the same things. And they're each trying to say that your side doesn't matter. Biology doesn't matter. Oh, your psychology is goofy. Right? No, they both matter, but neither one is actually real when it gets right down to it. All right. Now, with that, here's where you make this really help you attract lasting love. You need to know what is your primary at-home energy. And here's a way that you can kind of get at this. This is not a very good way to think of it because I'm describing extremes and I'm describing a situation that you're never, ever, ever going to have, but I want you to feel into it. Okay? It's an either or, it's a would you rather thing. Okay? Would you rather be successful, wildly successful, Jeff Bezos successful, Okay. Elon Musk, successful. Would you rather be wildly successful in your mission and what you wanted to do in life? You have that, but your love life is absolutely trash. No connection, no intimacy, no relationships, no girlfriend, no boyfriend, no sex life, right? I'm saying it's one or the other. You're going to be successful in your purpose, but a disaster in your love life. Okay, that's one scenario. Or would you rather have the most glorious love life you could ever imagine? The best marriage, the best friendships, connections with your children, with animals, with nature. I mean, you are just a relationally loving, connected, communing person. Okay, just filled with all that. But everything you do in the world is a complete failure. It never goes anywhere. Your career never goes anywhere. You don't have any legacy. You don't do anything. You don't accomplish anything. So you see how stupid that is, okay? But it presents these two polarity of ideas. Okay, I get to be wildly successful, but relationally a disaster, or relationally complete success, but in terms of achieving any purpose, a complete failure. If you had to pick one, if somebody put a gun to your head, so you got to pick one. You got to pick one. I can't pick one. How could I ever? I know you can't pick one. I'm just saying, play along with me. If you had to pick one, if you pick success, you're masculine. If you pick love, you're feminine. Best way to say it, a masculine person would say, oh, well, I would break my heart to have no real intimate relationships, but if I'm kicking ass and taking names and making a difference and changing the world and expressing all my gifts and I'm wildly successful, if I got a pick, that's where I would land. But if you're a feminine creature, man, no. I mean, it would be awful to, not accomplish any of my goals and the things I'm interested in life. But if every aspect of love is fulfilled in my life, then I could survive. Okay? So that's the best way I can help you land on which one is maybe your home energy. Now the question becomes, how do you strengthen that in you? And with that, I want to give you my favorite analogy on this. And I'm not sure if I learned this from someone. I use it in my second book, which is titled Attracting Lasting Love. And I don't know if I got it from someone. I probably did. I mentioned a while back that I've read so many books and listened to so many teachers and sat at their feet. God knows where some of my ideas have come from. But if you have to ask me, I'd say, I think that I came up with this analogy. And the analogy is a river. Think of a river. It's one thing, isn't it? It's just one thing. But it's got two parts. So it's kind of like life. It's one thing, but it's got Shiva, Shakti. It's got space and stuff. So a river's got the river banks and the water. Okay? The banks are masculine. The water is feminine. So if you want to be your most attractive and magnetic masculine or feminine self, then you want to study the qualities and characteristics of the river's banks and say, how can I be more like the banks? And if you want to be the most attractive person you can be and you identify with the feminine, then you want to say, what are the qualities of water and how can I be more like water? What you don't want to do is how can I be a little bit of each? You're going to be in a sexless relationship or single. You want to say, no, I'm more of the banks. I'm more of the water. And it's women, you want to get wetter, Men, you want to get more structured. So let's take the banks. What are some aspects of the banks? Well, it's a structure, isn't it? And the key to a nice big river is the banks have to be wide and deep to hold the water, correct? The wider and deeper the river's banks, the more water it can channel, the more water it can contain. So a masculine being is someone who lives with a structure. There's an organization to them. There's a discipline. And there's a width and a depth to them. See, good river banks are not an inch wide and a half an inch deep. And you can't hold much. And let me tell you, you meet a woman who's wet, who's identified with the water, she's a lot to handle. She has a lot of flow, baby. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That woman's got some water. The feminine is got a flow. And so you're going to be attracted to that kind of woman. But you better have banks wide and deep enough to handle her. So a man's got to ask himself, am I a wide and deep man? Not am I shallow and superficial? Because I can't handle anything then. If I'm a shallow, superficial man, the only type of feminine I can handle is a barely wet woman. She's just got a little trickle to her flow. Because anything more would overrun your riverbank. She'd swallow you. She'd destroy you. Right? If the water overruns the banks, it just destroys everything. So you've got to be wide and deep as a man. So that's the question. My structure. How wide and deep am I? In regards to what? Your presence. Your riverbanks are your ability to be present and to be stable in moments of chaos. Can you pay attention? Can you remain unmoving and uncollapsible in tense moments of emotion, in tense moments of challenge, in tense moments of drama? See, the wider and deeper a man is, the more of life he can contain. He doesn't get run over. He doesn't get washed out. He doesn't collapse under the pressure. And you're going to relate to a feminine creature, that's pressure, because she's got flow. So when your presence, your ability to pay attention, your ability to be leading your life with clarity, right? You have wide and deep riverbanks. When I ask you, what is your purpose in life? And you have an answer. And it's not about finding a woman. It's this is who I am. This is what I'm called to do. This is what my mission in life is. This is where I'm going, right? Because riverbanks, they go someplace, don't they? There's a direction. So that's maybe the second thing about a river's banks. They not only have a structure, it's wide and deep, but it goes somewhere. It's got a direction to it. You are unbelievably attractive as a masculine being when you're a wide and deep person with a direction. You're not going in circles. You're not lost. You're not in a job you hate. You're not doing something that you don't want to do. You're in alignment. You have a strength. You have wide and deep banks that are going somewhere. See, when that water comes in contact with you, she's going, I got some flow, but I want to know where you're going. Where, if I'm flowing with you, where are we headed? Because the feminine knows what she wants in life. She knows where she wants to go. So if she's going to fill your riverbanks with her flow, which is what you so much want, she's going to want to know where you're going to take the flow here. Where are we going? And if you're like, oh, I don't have any purpose to my life. I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. I don't know what I really want to do. And I don't know where I want this relationship to go. I don't know how I feel about you. I don't know what I want with you. I don't know if I want to be monogamous. I don't know if I want to take our profiles down. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. If you're a man who doesn't know, you're going to be single. A river's banks have clarity. It's going right there. So I always make this point. To men, if a woman ever has to ask you how you feel about her, you have failed. She's asking for your direction, for your structure, for your clarity. Okay? And then the last part is the banks contain the water. That's why it needs to be wide and deep. You surround the water. Feminine wants to be held. They want to be held, like be seen, behold, this beautiful feminine. So she wants to be seen, but she wants to be held, right? That's why they really don't want to be mansplained to. See, because they want to be held, not treated like they don't have a brain, right? They want you to be present, to listen. Anybody ever said, I just want you to listen. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I don't need answers. I just need you to be here, right? So the river's banks have a structure wide and deep, and there's a direction, and it's containing the flow. It's providing space to it, a safe space, a loving space. It's holding the feminine. And the feminine is water. So what are the qualities of water? Flow. One of the things I tell women all the time, do not ever hold back your flow because you think a man can't handle it. You got to be the full flow that you are, the full emotional flow, the full feeling flow, the full whatever you are. You've got to just say, I am going to flow. And if that guy's banks aren't wide and deep enough, he's just the wrong guy. But I'm never going to limit my flow so he can handle me. Because I don't want to be alone. Well, you're going to end up alone. If you have to limit your flow in order to be with a man who can't handle the full you, then you are alone. Because what you long for is to be fully who you are, neurotic or otherwise. It doesn't matter. To be fully who you are. And a man says, I got you. I'm uncollapsible. Girl, you can do anything. You will never scare me. You will never collapse me. You will never overrun my banks. I gotcha. Okay? So the water is flow, and you've got to feel free to be yourself and wait for a man who's wide and deep enough to contain you. But water is responsive, is it not? Water fills into the shape it's in. So a real quality of the feminine is its responsiveness. It's not necessarily directing and controlling and dominating, although the masculine really isn't either. But the feminine is a responsive thing. So if the river turns here, it's flowing with you. So women flow with. They move with. As long as where it's going is in service of love, not ego. Okay? So I'm not saying when you embody your feminine that you go and do anything a man wants to do. Jesus, no. Right? But you're also not pushing against him. In other words, when I mean by responsiveness, I mean trust. See, your water is in his riverbanks and you're resting in it. You're trusting, you got me. You got us. I trust you to take us with your discipline and your structure and your direction. So what I mean by responsiveness is a surrendered kind of trust. I trust you. Does that make sense? But feminine who don't trust, who are trying to control everything, then you're embodying more of your masculine when you do that, and you're just going to end up in the friend zone or single. So there's a flow, there's a responsiveness or trust. And then what is water? Water's pleasure, isn't it? We can play in the water, go to the ocean, go to a swimming pool. Like, water's fun, right? Water's pleasurable. We love to live by the water. The water is soothing to look at, right? If you live in the middle of the country like I do, there's a felt sense when you go to the beach and you see this gigantic ocean, something happens on the inside of you. It just calms you down. It's just like, you know, it's like, it's just reassuring. It's refreshing. It's pleasurable. So when you're a feminine person, how pleasurable is it to be around you? Do you feel like that ocean? When he comes over to pick you up, when he bumps into you at a bar or a networking event, how does he feel around you? Does he feel like, man, I'm just in some playful shit right now. This girl's playful. It's like being in a swimming pool with a bunch of cool pool toys, and I can dive in and splash around, and she's fun, right? She's playful. She's pleasurable to be around, to be near. I get rejuvenated. I get refreshed, right? Hot day, I'm going to jump in the water and cool off. Is that what you're like as a woman? When a masculine being has been in a hot day, if he jumps into you, is it like a volcano or is it refreshing? Now, you could say, you know, I have hot days too. Well, sure. And the masculine has a kind of refreshment when he's paying attention, right? When he's present with you, when he's containing you, when he's listening and giving space. But it's a different kind of refreshment. So the feminine is this flow, this responsive trustingness. It's pleasurable, and water is life-giving. Right? Water brings life. If you don't drink water, you die. Water brings life. We dam up waters and rivers and create electricity. Electricity helps continue life. So are you a life-giving feminine person? Do you bring life to those you touch? Right? A person who nurtures plants or animals, whether in a zoo or in a botanical gardens, that's a feminine job. It's nurturing life, creating life, supporting life, enhancing life. That's what the feminine does. The masculine stands outside of life and says, where should we go? What's necessary here? But the feminine's got their hands in the dirt and caretaking and nurturing and bringing support and life. So those of you who are listening who are identified with the feminine, how much like water are you? And you can grow in this. And maybe the first step is just giving yourself permission to be this kind of woman, because the world is telling you not to be that kind of woman. The world is telling you to be a man, to be like a man. And that's fine at work. You should be. Kick ass, take names. Absolutely. But if you want to be claimed in intimate relationship, then you better be different than that masculine person. Because he's got all that in himself, in spades. I don't need another masculine. I got plenty of that. What I'm hungry for is that feminine, baby. I got the riverbanks. I don't need more riverbanks. What good is that going to do me? I need some water in my banks. I need something to make me less dry, to soften me up, to play with me, right? And the feminine, and you know, guys are being told to be more feminine because of this whole toxic misunderstanding. The baby's being thrown out with the bathwater. Don't be masculine. Don't be structured and directive and present and containing and trustable. Take on more feminine qualities. Well, yeah, but she's like, crap, I got enough wetness over here. I need some riverbanks. So that's your challenge, is not to balance these energies as we've been doing in the rest of the series, but to get unbalanced, to be riverbanks, to be flowing water. Now, I laid a lot of heavy shit on you, okay? So I'm right here to help you become wider and deeper as a masculine being, or wetter and more flowing and more life-giving as a feminine being. You probably need coaching with this. I mean, in any other area of life that we want to be successful, we reach out for professional help, don't we? Accountants, lawyers, doctors, dentists, right? You're not doing your own teeth. You're not giving yourself your own antibiotic, right? You go to experts and say, I need some help. We do it with sports. We get coaches and experts and things. Oh, but when it comes to our love lives, no, I got to figure this on my own. I can just figure this out on YouTube. All right, go for it. But if you want an extraordinary relationship of connection and passion and chemistry and compatibility, then there's a chance that you need to strengthen your riverbanks and or get a little wetter as a feminine creature. And I'm right here to have that conversation with you. All right. Now, as often happens, I don't know what next week is going to be about yet. I do know, just to give you a little teaser, I'm tempted to do maybe a 3 or maybe a 4-part series on pure spirituality. I might call it like Enlightenment for Dummies or Spirituality 101, 201, 301, 401 or something. I might do a real spiritual focused series of podcasts, because I did the first one this year on the pursuit of intimacy, right? The practical things on how to find a partner. And then I did this series on relationship skills, right? And I thought, okay, well, then maybe I can do something on raw spirituality and kind of really have a balance of, you know, my podcasts and them hitting, you know, these different important areas of life. So we'll see how it all goes, but I got a feeling that's coming in the near future. So until then, if you want to find me, right, it's roy@coachingwithroy.com. My cell phone number, you can also use it for WhatsApp, 407-687-3387. So, okay, take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Attracting Lasting Love with Roy Biancalana. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and review and share it with anyone you think might benefit from listening. Check out our website at coachingwithroy.com and tune in every week for more insights and wisdom on creating healthy, lasting, conscious relationships.